One of the leading drivers of this increase that we're seeing is actually conflict and violence. Over the last 10 years, there's been a marked increase in conflicts. So this is a reversal of the long-term peace that we've been seeing. Also, conflicts are becoming much more complex, which is also creating further problems. So, for example, if we look at the 815 million that you quoted just now, 60% of those live in countries affected by conflict. But besides that, in peaceful settings, we have weather-related events closely associated with climate change, leading to problems of food availability, increased prices, which is also making the numbers go up. The other element is economic downturns. So in countries where they're dependent on oils or primary commodities for exports, foreign exchange earnings are compromised. It means they have less food to import. So that's another big factor which is leading to increased numbers of hunger.
In countries where the driver is conflict, is it only populations in the conflict areas of these countries who are affected?
Populations that are directly living in places where there's conflict ongoing are usually significantly impacted. They can have their crops destroyed, their assets destroyed. They can be pushed out of the areas they live and they become displaced. However, conflict also has other impacts that are more economic-wide. For example, many of the conflicts happen in agricultural rural areas. So that means crop production is compromised. And that affects the availability in a country. It affects prices. So even populations outside of those conflict areas may have problems accessing food. Also, it flows across borders. As we all know, the huge population displacement that's been affecting the world and it's been in the news, those populations are fleeing. Therefore, they also put additional burdens on the food security of the other populations that come to host them.
What forms of malnutrition are being noted in the report?
This is the first time where we're looking specifically at malnutrition. And the four measures that we're looking at, one is stunting, which is a very important indicator among children that are under 5 years of age, which means that they've had a persistent episode of not enough food in the past so that they're too short for their age. Not only are they too short, they also have problems with cognitive ability and disabilities of learning. And we have about 1 in 4 children globally now, which is quite high. The other malnutrition indicator we're looking at is called wasting. So it means that you're not getting enough food and nutrients, or you may be subjected to disease such that you're wasting away. But more importantly, we're also looking at overweight in children under 5, as well as obesity in adults. And this is a growing problem worldwide and also has significant implications for people's health and living. We're seeing that in countries, you have multiple factors of nutrition happening. You can have a country which has undernutrition, so the wasting and stunting, but also you can have problems of obesity.
What is expected from the global community with respect to dealing with these growing issues?
Well, first of all, the rise in hunger that we're seeing should be sending quite significant alarm bells out. We've been seeing declines in hunger over the last 2 decades, and now suddenly it's leveling off, it's stagnating, and starting to increase again. Strong political commitment by countries is needed if we're going to reduce hunger and malnutrition, but also not just commitment, but actions addressing the root causes of these problems. We can't be putting a Band-Aid on and just save the people that are hungry now because they're going to be hungry tomorrow. We have to address those underlying issues.